So I'm talking with Dan Alcott, who is the symphony conductor of the Bryan Symphony Orchestra, as well as a professor of music at Tennessee Tech University. And how long have you been at Tech, Dan?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. I'm glad to be part of the scene.
My pleasure.
I first moved to Cookeville in 2003. My family moved up from Atlanta, where I was music director of Atlanta Ballet, which I did that job for 10 years. I actually continued doing that for a while when I came here, so commuted a little bit.
A little back and forth.
A little back and forth, right. And of course, this my position is a dual position with the Bryan Symphony Orchestra Association and the university. So the Bryan Symphony Orchestra Association is a nonprofit that raises several hundred thousand dollars a year in support of these performances by our music faculty, some of our most talented students, and then area professionals. So it was such an attractive position. I wasn't really looking for a job when I got this job, but it kind of fit my skill level. And we had at that time a very young family, and we really were just attracted to the prospect of becoming a part of this community. And this has been a wonderful place to raise my children who are now adults.
Yeah, I feel the same way. As an arts community, it's very easy to say that about Cookeville.
Yes.
Because you see it everywhere. You see music and dance and theater, and the art scene is incredible.
For sure.
Craft Center.
So. And it's also, the security and also the opportunity to have a university position was definitely a change for me. I had only been pursuing professional conducting, and I didn't think that I was going to have a university position. And when this position became available, it also had a specialty area where they said, we would desire somebody who can teach a low string classical instrument. And I'm a cello player.
Yes.
And so that was kind of where I was like, oh, I told my wife, Susan, I think I'm going to apply for this job. And it was a super busy, we had just bought a house in Atlanta. I mean, it was not like the perfect time to move or whatever, but we really, we came up here, we visited, and we also visited with some people from the schools because we have an autistic son, and we wanted to make sure that there were, that this community, the education system was prepared for that. And we really were very impressed. And also we felt like we could be kind of helpful in a way that that we would offer to be a part of the community, especially the special needs community. And we really reached out to some other people, and we kind of all mentor each other. So it's been a really nice thing for our whole family. Very comfortable place
to be.
Yeah,
that's really great. Let me ask you something about the Bryan Symphony Orchestra. Is that usual that a symphony orchestra would be sort of a nonprofit organization connected to Tech?
It is not usual. There are a few places where there are universities that have orchestras, but it's one orchestra, so it's a kind of a community orchestra and the university orchestra because their programs aren't that large.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have a university orchestra. I have an all-student ensemble that I conduct also. And this is a particular – the Bryan Symphony is more of a professional concert series. We do 5 subscription concerts a year.
Right.
So it's very unique in that way. And it was really the idea of from what I've been told, and there's a lot of good lore – but there was a kind of a group of new faculty wives, the wives of faculty members at that time, and many of our faculty were, most were men.
Right.
They came from various larger cities and things, and they were plopped down in Cookeville, and they were just, they wanted to do things that were good and important. And, some of them thought, let's bring something to this community that we were used to maybe in a larger community.
Sure.
So that was kind of the genesis of the Bryan Symphony Orchestra Association, and they worked with Jim Wattenberger, who was professor and head of the School of Music at that time, and they really, that's how the Bryan Symphony Orchestra was born, and immediately had the focus of bringing world-class soloists and music performed at a professional level, and then also doing important educational outreach.
That's so great. So you really do bring musicians in from not just Putnam County. You bring musicians in from all over the world.
Well, also, the larger body of our string section is members of the Nashville Symphony, Knoxville Symphony, Chattanooga Symphony. A lot of those string players come. I'm very lucky because I do conduct other places professionally, and I have a great orchestra.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so lucky. We have so many such talent in this area. And so, but our soloists come from all over. We had a pianist come from Chile in the fall who was our soloist. And then I, you know, many of us have friends in the industry who will kind of come here as a favor to us, and they come back because they love Cookeville and they love the Bryan Symphony, and it's a really nice place for them to perform. And of course, those people are then access is given to them to our students, because right. these people will then teach master classes. So it's a way of infusing the scene, especially, you know, for the community, but also for those of us who live here. You yeah. know, you can feel a little isolated in a smaller town, but we don't feel that way because we have such a great opportunity to play this wonderful music. And also, it's a wonderful thing for music faculty to perform together.
Yeah.
That will, if you have to go into a rehearsal right after a faculty meeting, it kind of tamps down what you might say at a faculty meeting. And so we have a great culture of music making. And a lot of places when you teach music, you don't get to perform as much. So this is so great to see. And also to see my faculty members, cohorts, sitting there next to some of their students, you know, mentoring them through this really wonderful music as we rehearse, and they rehearse alongside area professionals.
More with Dan Alcott and the Bryan Symphony Orchestra on the way. I was looking at the calendar because I knew we were going to be talking about music today.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so impressed with how much is going on in the Bryan Fine Arts Center at any given time.
Right.
I mean, we were talking about, for instance, faculty getting to play, and I noticed there were a number of different recitals, student recitals. So what are some of the things that are coming up immediately?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the Bryan Fine Arts Center, because one of the things that people will ask me sometimes is when I say I'm the music director of the Bryan Symphony, they're like, where's Bryan? And where's Bryan, Tennessee? Well, there is actually Bryan, Tennessee. But we are named after Charles Faulkner Bryan, who was an early early 20th century Tennessee native from McMinnville. He was a composer and a teacher, and he taught at Tennessee Tech.
Oh,
and when I first arrived, there were still people who had been in some of his choirs or some of his productions that were able to reflect on that. And so the College of Fine Arts is now housed in a building called the Bryan Fine Arts Center. So
right.
you and I know that, but that's important for people
to
know.
No, I'm glad you clarified.
And that people, you know, should also know that anytime they want to come to a concert at the Bryan Fine Arts Center, the parking is free after 5 o'clock, so they can come to evening recitals, and on the weekends it's free. So they really, sometimes people are a little worried about coming to a university campus and getting a ticket. Don't worry about that. Yeah, we have, it's such a busy calendar, and I know this because we just had our calendar meeting for next year, and we're fighting for dates. But so the Bryan Symphony Orchestra performs on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock, whereas every evening, if you go on to the Tennessee Tech School of Music website, there's a calendar of events, and you may see a faculty recital. 7:30 in the evening is when we have our recitals. Faculty recitals, ensembles. We have a concert band, we have two jazz ensembles, we have two choirs, we have the university orchestra. I gave a solo cello recital earlier this semester. Many of the faculty, most of us, give a recital every year. So if you're looking for something to do, and all of those concerts, most of them are free.
Yeah.
There's an occasional holiday concert or something, that those are ticketed. The Bryan Symphony Orchestra is a ticketed concert because it's a professional orchestra.
Right.
And if people want to attend, they can, first of all, come to the Bryan Fine Arts Center and walk in the front door. At 2 o'clock, our box office opens, and they can get a ticket to the Bryan Symphony that day. Or they can go online to www.bryansymphony.org. That's B-R-Y-A-N. And check out our calendar for that organization. But, people should not think that there's nothing to do. I mean, this is a great opportunity.
It's amazing. And I had a student actually come to me after class today saying, I need to go see a music event for my class. Do you know of any coming up? And I immediately showed her the calendar.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, look at this.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is,
I know
and I
a
said,
guy.
There's literally one tonight.
Right, yeah. But if they want to come on Sunday, I know a guy who can get them a ticket. So,
exactly.
But yeah, it's really exciting how much music there is going on. And again, like I said before, it's really important that our students see and experience us performing as faculty, and then we have the opportunity to see them. We have a lot of students who are composing music that are on these recitals. Our students are particularly good at scheduling music by living composers.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people who in so-called classical music get a bad rap for, you know, only playing music by dead white guys from a long time ago. But really, it's so exciting, and also to see that our students are performing music by of their peers. And,
yeah.
And they're really, they're giving us a lot of that energy. So that's really exciting. And like I said, you go on the School of Music calendar, Tennessee Tech School of Music, just Google it, and you'll see a calendar of events that you will be surprised about.
It's all laid out, very easy to find. More with Dan Alcott and the Bryan Symphony Orchestra coming up. So, Dan, we're talking about the concert that's coming up on Sunday. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so this is Sunday, March 30th, and we have a concert at 3 o'clock this afternoon in the Bryan Fine Arts Center, which is at 1150 North Dixie. It's the northernmost building on campus. It's right across from the president's house. So this is going to be a really special concert because we're actually featuring two of our faculty members as soloists. So frequently we bring in soloists from around the world, really. And this concert in March, since we're a little busy this time of year with spring break and all that stuff, we have a smaller orchestra. Usually we use just a string orchestra and we focus on different music. There's so much music written. It's my favorite part of my job is I get like a 400-year span of music to choose from, and it's really exciting. So we have two faculty members who are playing solo works. One is Gosta Ramsey. Dr. Ramsey is new to Tennessee Tech. This is her second year, and she's our flute professor. She's an amazing flute player from Turkey, and she's got a great studio of students, and she's a wonderful teacher. But she's playing a concerto, and a concerto is just a solo piece with kind of sections, three different movements, we call them,
right,
for flute by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach. Now, some people will recognize the name of Bach, but this is the other Bach, another Bach. Bach had 20 children, and so several of whom were famous composers. And Carl Philipp Emanuel, we call him CPE or KPE, he was actually way more famous than his dad at that time. So this is in the 1750s. When Bach died, everybody thought he was just this old-fashioned guy.
Right.
And Carl Philipp Emanuel was really the next
He was the young hipster.
Right. And then another one of his sons, Johann Christian Bach, they call him the London Bach. He went to London and became kind of an impresario who worked with Mozart and Haydn, some other very important composers. But anyway, this is a really fun piece of music. It's from a period we call Sturm und Drang, or Storm and Stress.
I've studied it in the theater.
Yeah, Storm right. And so it's really kind of just an exciting and expressive kind of piece. And it shows. And that was an early work for the flute. The flute was developing even at that time as a kind of a normal solo instrument. It had, it used to be kind of more primitive, open hole, wooden thing. And, it's starting to get more exciting. So that's going to be a really neat opportunity to see Dr. Ramsey. She's wonderful. And then our concertmaster, and the concertmaster is the first violinist in the orchestra, and that's our professor of violin, Dr. Wei-Tsun Chang. He's been here 1 year longer than I have been here, so we've both been here over 20-some years. And he is playing a concerto by Felix Mendelssohn. And Mendelssohn is a pretty famous classical composer. He's from the early 19th century. And he was known kind of as a child genius. And he has a really famous violin concerto, but this isn't that one. We're doing what's called his Little D Minor Concerto. And it's neat because, and it kind of ties in with this concert for a couple of reasons, which I'll explain. But it was written when he was like 14. And he was this genius violin player. And also, when Mendelssohn wrote a piece of music, he had the advantage that in his household was kind of all the intelligent people of Germany would hang out. Like he was friends with the writer Goethe. He was, who's like an older mentor of his. All these great people. So great musicians. So, when our students write a piece of music, it's great. They get their friends together to play. When he got his friends together to play, it was all the best musicians in Germany at that time. So he was a really fast rising star. And this is a great and really kind of has the energy of a teenager. And it's not one of his, later works. But it's also really exciting, and the texture of just hearing all string players, playing together is really a unique option. We have two other pieces on the program. One is a lullaby by George Gershwin, famous American composer. And on that, we're actually going to be playing side by side with members of the university orchestra. So that's a great opportunity for them to, get in touch with some area professionals and just to play in that appreciative setting with our audience. And the other piece on the program is the Adagio by Samuel Barber. And Adagio is just an Italian word. It actually meant at ease at one point, but it's a kind of a slower piece of music. And this is a very famous American piece of music. And after the concert, we have members of the Tennessee Tech String Project, which is an after-school string program that several of us teach in. And some of their little rising stars, these are high school and younger students, are going to be playing in the lobby so that people can see the next generation. And we often say in the classical music business, you know, we put pictures of school orchestras up next to the Berlin Philharmonic, and we're like, you can't have this without this. And so it's really, really exciting. And some, I have a trio, the honors trio from the String Project that I've been coaching, three wonderful young ladies who are going to be playing in the lobby. And they are so excited to have the symphony audience get a chance to hear them play.
That's great. So you're really going to see it, – it's a big program on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a, and a
really
nice variety.
Generationally as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's really neat. And I think that's kind of like the tie-in with like playing a young Mendelssohn's piece. Because I always tell my students, I'm like, eh, Mendelssohn was 12 when he wrote this. What are you doing? You know, so it's kind of fun for them to get that tie-in. And, of course, the students are super excited to be able to hear Dr. Chang play a solo and also to be on that concert with him. So it's a really exciting, kind of a more intimate concert. Our next concert on April 27th is a big blowout of a thing. It'd be a huge orchestra. We're doing Sorcerer's Apprentice, which a lot of people have heard from Fantasia, and really, really big kind of muscle music. But this is our kind of chance once a year to have a little bit more intimate sounding orchestra.
Well, that sounds great, Dan. So this is Sunday.
Sunday, March 30th.
March 30th.
At 3, right? And then the next concert is April 27th at 3. And you can always just go to www.briansymphony.org, and you can see what we have going on. And you can also just visit the School of Music. If you just Google Tennessee Tech School of Music, you'll see a wonderful calendar of events. The Bryan Symphony's on there as well. And you can even find some of our email addresses if you want to bug us about stuff.
Well, that sounds great. Dan, I want to thank you so much for your time today. It was great talking to you.
It's such a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And I am Mark Kreider, also at Tennessee Tech. And thank you for listening to The Scene.